Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Aquí estamos. Aquí nos quedamos y aquí ganamos. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for the Big Ten-bound Washington Huskies. We are broadcasting live from the historic Roanoke Tavern here in beautiful Mercer Island, Washington. Well, this is a great place to record. A lot of Husky fans here. We're, again, the longest continually running podcast covering UW football here by the fans, for the fans. I'm with Mitch. I'm with Law Dog. We got C-Marks here with us. Might chime in. We're talking 2023 defense and a special goodbye to our favorite leopard print blazer wearing athletic director, Mrs. Jennifer Cohen, and the future of the four-pack. Should we start by talking defense?
Let's get into the D.
All right, so overall in the defense, before we get to it, let's remember last year, defense was 60th in the country, 100th in the nation against the pass. I think we can all agree they showed some promise towards the back third of the season. Texas, Apple Cup, CU, hard to judge, Oregon, the Beavers, but still giving up 250 yards a game. There is so much for this room, of room to improve here. We got to get back to death row. Got to get back to what we had with Coach Kwiatkowski. Got to get back to what we had when Jimmy Lake is a secondary coach and the recruitment built. Look, again, takeaways we talked about, 117th in the nation last year. So much room to grow. We got to get better. High level, Coach Inge, Coach Morrell, they love that modified 4-2-5, four linemen, only two with hands in the dirt. Others are the edge. We swap out the Sam linebacker for what he calls the Husky position. We're going to get into all that. Let's talk about this. Let's start in the back and work our way forward. Law Dog, how about that secondary?
Yeah, well, I think it's safe to say that death row finally got the chair last season, guys.
That was it.
Up to what we've been used to over the last 5-6 years.
The governor did not commute the sentence. It was over.
The governor, there was no commution in there. But you know what? I think there's actually a lot of reasons for optimism coming into this season, right? So, first of all, they're switching around some personnel. You know, you got Mish Powell's probably moving to that Husky position. Dom Hampton is moving back to free safety. So I think the coaches think that that's going to make a big improvement. And Dom, I think, is probably, I'm going to say, the most talented safety we've had back there in a few years. I mean, we have not seen the talent on the back end. And then you got Asa Turner, who I think, you know, we were waiting for the breakout last year. Maybe we're waiting for the fifth-year senior breakout.
This literally has to be it.
Is it coming?
It has to be.
But I think the most intriguing part of it all is probably the new transfer from Oklahoma State, Jabbar Muhammad. Everyone says he's playing with the ones. He's looking great doing it. And then what's going to happen at that other corner position? It's sounding like it's going to be the sophomore Elijah Jackson who's going to play that role. So between those five, you know, do you have a death row Jimmy Lake secondary? Probably not, if we're being honest. But I think we can say it's going to be a big improvement over last season. I'm looking at the yardage totals from last season, right? UCLA game, 469 yards yielded. And then 2 weeks later against Arizona, 526 yards.
That's bad.
So, I mean, you had that middle part of the season where you had a lot of guys who were banged up, right? You were just rotating, just warm bodies in. And in that UCLA game in particular, we were seeing a lot of green, a lot of daylight between the receivers. And then you get to ASU, and that's frankly a game you probably could have won, but just nobody showed up that day. So I think, and those are your two losses on the season, right? And that's where you were the most banged up all season. It's not to say that they didn't have their, you know, their down moments after that. Oregon, they gave up, it looks like, I'm looking at 592 yards. Ooh. So certainly this was not like lights out on defense. But what it was leaky as shit, right?
Yeah.
And can the personnel changes you're making in there, can we kind of right the ship and just be average? Just be average. Because the rest of this D, I think you can piece together a pretty good defense. And with this offense, we know we're going to be in subtract meet. So I look at this and say, I think there's a lot of opportunity to improve on what was a terrible season last year. I'm not saying we're going back to the days of 2016 to 2019, but I do think there's some talent here, and I expect it to be significantly improved from a year ago.
I would agree with that. I mean, they had very little depth last year, and it seems different this year. Seems like they have a couple more guys now that can really rotate in, that if not their 1A starters, their 1B. Last year, it was like if one of those guys went down, you're like, who is that? What number is that on the field?
Unrecognizable.
Yeah,
it was tough. I mean, I don't think this defense was going to be anywhere near top half or even mid third, but then you had the injuries, and that's what put it down to bottom third. They weren't going to be that great without them, but yikes. So that's our secondary. Let's move a little bit forward. That linebacker group has a lot of room to grow as well. Mitch, talk to us about that linebacker group.
Well, first off, let's look around the conference a little bit, guys. It's not like the Huskies have not recruited well at linebacker. You got a guy named Latu down at UCLA.
You got to bring him up.
Daniel Hamuli at Arizona, Josh Calvert at Utah, and Jackson Sermon at Cal. Sermon.
Those are all Pac-12 linebackers.
Those are all Pac-12 linebackers, right? They all played for the University of Washington at one point, guys.
Not anymore.
So let's look forward. All right. So I think we're pretty well stocked. If you search Husky linebackers out there, the top article that comes back are Husky linebackers are probably better than most people think.
Jeez, wow.
Which is a positive
ringing
sign,
endorsement,
right? So, look, the frontline starters, you've got Eddie Ulufoshio. If he can continue on his return from last year, pick up where he was headed and continue to trend and regain his form, that's potentially an all Pac-9, last time I recall, linebacker right there. And then Alfonso Tupatala, don't sleep on him. Like, he's not been bad. Like, so those are two pretty good frontline starters there. And then if you look at their depth behind him, you've got Carson Bruner and Raylan Goforth. First off, Bruner, I feel like, is highly underrated. I think he is a very solid. He could absolutely be a starter in the Pac-12. Falls into the category of some of those other guys. He's fundamentally sound. He had a couple rough games last year, but honestly, like, I really feel like he is a solid Pac-12 starting linebacker who can definitely carry his own. And then Raylan Goforth comes in from USC, had that huge hit on Cam Rising last year in the Pac-12 championship. I'm not sure if you guys remember that. That decleater, which felt like it really pushed the momentum of that game. He's not starting. Right?
Yeah.
So that's significant. I think they've got great depth at linebacker.
So just to jump in on that, I think actually one thing that we kind of took for granted was that last year was that so many guys were rotating in. A lot more so than the Peterson Lake era, right? Guys who were playing 40, 50% of the snaps of the starters. So I think we're going to see Goforth, right? And I think he'll have every chance to make plays on the field. I think we're going to see Javion Green, even though we maybe not want to see him that much.
yeah. I love those first two. I mean, if Eddie gets back to anything like he was before, Tupatala is an absolute stud. I'll give you one more name on there. Drew Fowler.
Oh, yeah.
Give Drew Fowler a scholarship, man. That guy's ready. I think this could be a big breakout season for him.
I think another thing about Ulufoshio, we saw a lot of promise in, what was that, 2019 on special teams, 2020, somewhere in there. And then he got hurt, and he really was not healthy even until, what, November of last season? So he was playing in a very limited way. I think we think that there's a lot more potential there, a lot more meat on that bone. So I expect he was named a captain this week.
Captain, pre-med major.
I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by what we see from Ulufoshio. And I think Tupatala was your best linebacker last year. So, again, another spot where I think there's improvement on the horizon.
That's right. All right, let's move up front to the big guys up front. It's where it has to start. Start at the edge, Eric Schmidt's group. They lost Jeremiah Martin, the A&M transfer, now a member of the Cleveland Browns. So you're losing 10.5 sacks and all conference honors, but I think you have, let's start, preseason All-American, Braylon Trice. I mean, he's up for every award. I mean, it's incredible. Some of the preseason watch lists have him, like, ahead of Penix from, like, most valuable player on the team. So Braylon Trice, big year for him. ZTF, that's your other two. So the edge should be pretty set for our front two. Now, that third one, it's going to be Voight Tanufi. Voight Tanufi's your sack master. He's converted over from the interior side. That's your third guy, and I think he's going to play a lot. Lots of excitement around Lance Holdsclaw. I will say he's had a chance to meet him this summer, and he's thin. He's thin. He's tall, real rangy. So I think it has to be in that certain down distance kind of where he can get in there. The other guy, which I think is going to be tough, is Zach Durfee from Sioux Falls. Man, he looked really good in the spring game, but right now, like, they're waiting on his eligibility.
Eligible, yeah.
I mean, look, I think that waivers, look, the way they're throwing around these eligibility waivers, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. Just because he enrolled as a non-student athlete at another four-year college a year ago, like, give this guy
We're playing in 8 days. Get it together.
Yeah, get it together, man. Get this guy. Come on. That's just BS. Like, let's find him. I got to say, I really like what UW Director of Sports Science, Ben Kramer, is doing, having him work on all that hand fighting and martial arts, like all that kind of stuff up in the front and the hand fighting, I think is gonna help him. That'll be a strength.
You gonna get a side hustle teaching hand fighting to the D lineman, BT?
I might. I mean, I went through a little tour, a tour, and went through the weight room, and there and you could see him working on it. And it makes sense, man, of just keeping guys' paws off you. All that hand fighting stuff looks awesome.
It just sounds like an episode of Zoolander to me.
It totally does. Get the hand fighters out here. And let's move into the middle of the guards. We know who the big two are. Too Little Tuli Gasanoa, Fatua Tui Tele. That's where you have your confidence. And now the third, again, like I think Tanufi is your obvious third on this side. A slimmed down, so 313 pounds slimmed down, MJ Ale. He's your third. There's no question. I think Jacob Bandis is probably your fourth. Javon Parker showed out a little bit in the spring of the two between the twins of Javon and Armand. Javon appears to be a little bit more healthy and ready. Look, Bandis can live up to his potential. I look what these guys are doing. Look what Anoki Brechterfield, man. I mean, he's coached Aaron Donald, TJ Watt. Like, I just trust this guy. I trust him to get this ready. But I think this, look, to me, that side, I feel good about this front too. I worry a little bit about the depth. There was times last year when we weren't given the secondary any help by not getting enough quarterback pressure. And there were times in a handful of games when, like, we couldn't stop, like, run 4 yards, run 5 yards, run 5.5 yards. We could not stop that. And some of that is, like, linebacker safety play filling up the gaps, but they shouldn't get there because that front line needs to be a little bit more stout. But I want to see it. This could be a big year for them.
We just haven't had, I mean, Latuli Gasanoa, kind of the closest thing you've had to one of those elite interior linemen. But, I mean, it just is not what it was years ago, and it hasn't been. And we started to notice it in 2020, right, that, you know, you start to see the signs that this was kind of slipping. And to your point about the depth, I mean, we can afford some injuries on this team. You don't want it to happen, but they inevitably will. This is kind of one spot where I really, ooh, I don't know if we can, what we can afford. And
yeah, it's a little worrisome.
Ale, you're asking a lot of Ale to be an every down guy when he was playing O-line 2 years ago.
That's right. I'll ask a question of you guys before we go on to special teams. So look, our goals as this team, you know, I mean, the reason that Penix and Rome and everyone came back and they're talking about it publicly is they think this is a national caliber team. I think for us, anything short of playing in a Pac-12 championship is a disappointment this year, right? Everything else on top, is that's sugar
Agreed.
On top, right?
Agreed.
But that's anything short of that this year is going to be a disappointment. Where does the defense have to rank? What's the floor? Like, what's the floor of this defense in order to make those dreams happen this year in the Pac-12? Like, do they have to be top three? Do they have to be, like, just top half? Gonna, you know, if the improving from a bottom third up to a, like, sixth, fifth-ranked defense in the Pac-12, does that get it done?
Yeah, I think they need to be middle of the road or better. You know, we'll talk about some of the other teams as we get further into the preseason podcast we're planning, but I look around and go, I think that there's definitely some teams that should be ahead of us, but I think we'll see an improved unit, and I think if you improve to the point where you're fourth, fifth, sixth in the conference, that'll be enough to get us that championship game, in my opinion.
I agree, and that's what gets me excited. I feel like there's a lot of upside with this defense, like we were just talking about. Health is going to be a factor. If that defensive line can stay healthy, if the edge rush can really get home, I mean, this could be a top three defense, guys, that we're talking about, and this team really hums. That would be
if this is a top three defense. I mean, it's a lot to ask, but I mean, sky's the limit at that point. Look, I'd like to see this team be able to keep better offenses in the 20s, high 20s, and really just put the floor down on bad teams in the teens and low 20s. But that's a lot to ask. We'll see how this thing starts out. Hey, just real quick, tip of the cap to the special teams for Eric Schmidt. Looks like it's going to be Grady Gross replacing Peyton Henry, not lefty Addison Shock getting at least the start. Jacob McAllister punt, and then for punting on the returners, man, tough because like you got Giles Jackson and Cam Davis both out, right? And those are two guys that you thought you were going to have on return. Jeremy Bernard, Danny Nagata, J-Mac, those can be some of the returners, but it's an area that I think we got to get a lot better at.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about helping out your defense, you need some big plays on special teams. We've kind of just been so up and down over the last 10 years, it's hard to know what to think, right? Yep. Went from having John Ross, Dante Pettis, two of the greatest returners in Husky history to, you know, we didn't get a ball past the 30-yard line a couple years ago.
That's right.
And especially on the punt team, we used to really flip the game.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have not done that in years. And I think that's an area where if these coaches are earning their salary this offseason, they're looking at ways or that they can do that and affect some of these games.
The better.
Yeah, I think all Husky fans are kind of holding their breath and waiting to see what happens with the kicking game, the punting game. You know, it's kind of wait and see.
So in some, I think that defense, so, I mean, obviously tons of room to improve. If they get up into being somewhat of a top three, it would just be incredible to see. But I think we think this defense has to be at least middle of the Pac-12, you know, to help us out and get us right away.
Well, you had the best passing offense in the nation last year. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. We're going to talk about the offense in another show. But I mean, and Kalen DeBoer does not like to kick the ball. He does not like to go for 3 points. He does not like to punt. So we went for a lot of third and longs, fourth and whatevers. You know, and so if you get enough of those, you take enough pressure off your defense that, you know, and that's what we were able to do last year, go to 11-2 with a pretty shitty defense.
Yeah. Well, let's see how this defense shakes out. On to our last topic of the show. Look, not near as big of a bombshell to us and surprise to us and negative moods associated around it as when we lost Coach Pete, but we did wake up to some news, and all of our text messages started blowing up. Jen Cohen, as we hear, at least doubled her salary going to USC to be the athletic director. We saw her there taking the deal, saying, you know, they're doing the fight on thing, and saying, you know, I'll cheer for the Huskies, except when they're playing my Trojans. A lot of that kind of stuff is hard to hear. But let's talk a little bit about this, of like, A, what the impact is going to be, and how do we view Jen Cohen on the way out?
I think it's pretty interesting that you had – this USC AD search was open for months, right? But in the last month, what else was going on, right? We were dealing with a lot of getting this media deal, right? The realignment and all of that stuff. And I give Jen Cohen some credit for bringing the ship into port before she jumped off. But then as soon as she did, she jumped off. And, you know, like I think like you're saying, BT, I thought, and I put this on Twitter, you know, I thought she bled purple and gold. You know, I thought she'd be here forever. She'd been here for 25 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
With the roots in Tacoma and the family here and all that. Then I kind of, as I learned, you know, she's divorced and her kids are both off of college and maybe she doesn't need to live.
Also has roots in Southern California.
Also has roots in Southern California. So I think it kind of makes sense. And if you're going to leave, she was probably not going to leave to be the athletic director of Penn State.
Right.
She was probably not going to go be the athletic director at Auburn. You know, this was probably one of a few jobs that she would have left for, but it was the circumstances, the timing, and all that was right. And I think she did right by UW when she was at the helm, and I will miss her. That's not to say I don't think we can get a good athletic director that can do as good or a better job. But I think she did a good job, and I think she deserves the credit for it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think she deserves a tip of the cap by any Husky fan, considering the turbulence that she negotiated us through. You know, look at the stadium remodel. Look at, you know, she was pretty instrumental, from what I heard, of getting Coach Pete hired.
Yep.
Right? Look at the last two athletic directors and where they went. LSU and now USC. It's not like they've been getting fired, right, or asked to leave like some previous athletic directors. So, you know, I think we got a strong tradition, and we'll hopefully we get, you know, a replacement that fills those big shoes.
Yeah, and I mean, let's hope that this replacement is as big of an upgrade as the last time we shipped a leader down to SC in Sark, but I don't know. I mean, look, tip of the cap to her, and I just hold no grudges. I mean, she gave 25 years to this university, doubled her salary, and also think about, like, what it takes for you to be successful in a job like that as your budget. Think about how the scope and size of her budget. You know, you think of like you're taking a CMO job or somewhere. The first thing you're going to ask is, how big is my marketing budget? What can I do to be actually be successful? Look what she has at USC. I can't blame her. Look at, I think back to her big hits. $119 million Adidas deal.
Yep.
Mitch mentioned the Coach Pete hire. Coach DeBoer. And I will say, like, look, around the Coach Lake time, most people were clapping and cheering.
You did not hear a lot of people saying.
No, you didn't. And when things went sideways, she moved quickly, right?
That's true.
Even in the Mike Hopkins, people liked Mike Hopkins in the early days, right? And now maybe at this point you say, like, how hasn't she moved on Mike Hopkins at this point? But there's probably some budgetary reasons she hasn't. You know, look down the line of, like, the Jody Wynn hire was a total mess. That one. But she moved quickly and replaced. I think in the end of the day, like, you can't ask her to 100%. Tip of the cap to her. I hope that Husky Nation is nice and friendly to her if she ever comes back. But at the same time,
this is not a Barbara Hedges situation.
No, this is not. This is not Barbara Hedges. And how dare you bring up Barbara Hedges? I was having a good time here enjoying a beverage. I will say this. We better get this next hire right. Don't get cute. Don't get someone who's like academic focused. I hate to say that. Find the right person for this gig, man. Don't screw this thing up.
So I got a text from a friend. Not trying to sound too cynical. But Cohen's hiring USC is another reminder that being a Husky is no more than a job for every person working in the athletic department, top to bottom. The real dogs can be found screaming in the stands and pissing in the cut before the game. And I think that says it all.
Guilty as charged on all cages.
So let's look forward at the replacement, because I think you're right. I mean, you want to avoid a Todd Turner situation.
That's right.
Kind of what you were getting at there. And, you know, Kausei, I think, knows what she doesn't know. And she may not be like a football-centric university president, but what have we done under her watch? We've hired Coach Pete. We've gone to, you know, the playoff. We've grown our budget. We're in the Big Ten now. I mean, she's getting the big things right. And so I think she wants to get this hire right. She's going to turn it over to the people who are going to get that right person in place. So let's talk about, anybody have any favorite candidates for who we're looking at here?
Well, yeah, I mean, the leaders, Coach Pete, I think from a fan perspective, but it's really questionable on whether he really wants that job. He's got a pretty sweet gig on, what is it, the big noon Saturday, Big Ten Saturday or whatever. Like, why would he wade back into the quagmire of college football right now?
I don't see Coach Pete... going to a fundraiser and asking donors, hey, I know you gave this, but can't you pony it up a little bit more this year? I just don't see it. I can't see it. I would love it, but I don't see it.
I don't even know. I hate to say this. I don't even know if he'd be good at it. Yeah. I mean, like, the kind of stuff that you have to, like, the things that drove him away from college football, right, are even more prevalent now.
But I think from a leadership perspective coaching his coaches and all of that, I think that's kind of what he wants to be doing. So I think we can agree. There's a part of the job he'd be amazing. There's another part of the job that maybe he wouldn't really want to do it, wouldn't be amazing. But Jen Cohen came from a fundraising development side, and she ended up making some good coaching hires along the way. So it's I don't think you can write it off. But I agree, it's unlikely to happen. Anybody have any other candidates they like?
Let's hear you like.
Well, I think Pat Chun's getting a lot of shit at Wazoo right now. The Wazoo fans are with pitchforks, and we'll be talking about them in a future episode, but they want his head and Kirk Schultz's head. But I think Pat Chun has done a great job with the resources he has, and I think going to the Big Ten. Now, he worked at Ohio State for a long time. That job is also open. I could see him pursuing that. I could see him getting that. I could also see Ohio State saying, we want a heavier hitter, and he might be available. So I think that would be a good one. Scott Barnes at Oregon State is another good candidate. He has roots, having worked in the athletic department before he went to Oregon State. So I think that would be another good choice. And those guys both probably are looking for an off-ramp right now. So those are two candidates I would keep an eye on.
I would be okay with either of those. I mean, they seem solid Northwest. They understand the culture, what it takes to succeed, which is a little bit unique, right? If you bring somebody in that's external, you never quite know. They're really going to understand the vibe up here. Either of those seem like super solid hires from my perspective.
I saw John Wilner had in his initial list that he put out O.D. Vincent, who's a former UW golfer, and he now works for the PGA. That would be an interesting kind of out-of-the-box hire, but a guy who has roots with the program and has worked in sports administration and all that. So that could be another interesting name.
Yeah, I mean, it also could just be an internal promotion like it was with Jen Cohen as well.
Yeah, and they brought in Andy Fee a couple of years ago, who was the athletic director at Long Beach State.
That's what I think. That's
and
I think,
they brought him in to do the day-to-day while Cohen worked on larger strategic matters, which we all know what that ended up being. And so he's been kind of, you know, running day-to-day operations for the last couple of years.
I could see him going the internal route and going to the Andy Fee.
And he is not named interim director.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably why. I think they didn't want to name him interim, give him a running head start.
No, you're
vetting. He's probably going to be a candidate.
You're vetting. And look, hey, $1 million buyout helps with the lake sting.
Yeah.
You know, at least we get $1 million on there. Hey, the thing that best suits her needs.
Going back to that for a sec, I mean, you know, she's going, like, the debt service on Husky Stadium is coming up. And it's going to start ratcheting up in the next couple of years. We're also going to be taking a 50% share in the Big Ten for the next 6 years. She might have seen a little bit of the choppy seas ahead, and she absolutely does not have that problem at USC, where they have kind of a bottomless pit of money. And especially joining the Big Ten as a full share, she's going to, you know, she wants to fire a basketball coach or whatever, she's just going to do it.
Yeah.
So I could see the why, and I think, yeah, any Husky fan should be able to acknowledge there are better jobs. We don't want to admit it sometimes, but there are better jobs, and this is one of them.
Hey, no ill will towards her. We're going to wrap things up here on this episode of the Dog Pod. That's your defense that's coming back this year. We're going to be coming back in the future live here again from the Rono, talking about offense and other things. Go Dogs.
Woof.
Woof.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Aquí estamos. Aquí nos quedamos. Y aquí ganamos. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.